All right, if you have your Bibles this evening, let's turn to the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. The book of Ruth. And thus far we've seen the story that is just a... It's a mix of... It's a sad story, but it's also a story of joy and of love and of romance. We're gonna kind of hit a little bit more on that tonight. So, I know you're excited about that. And you know, so far in the first two chapters, we have seen a man that we refer to as My God is King. Elimelech had left the house of bread and praise and had gone to Moab, God's trash basket. Literally is what one verse in the Old Testament refers to Moab as. And so, but things didn't go well there. Even though they're having famine in Judah, in Bethlehem, Judah, where they had left, they went to Moab and Elimelech died. My God is King died. And his widow was left, Naomi, whose name means pleasant. And so Pleasant was left and... along with their two sons, sick and puny, and they were, you know, appropriately named because they both died. Rodney, they both died, and so, you know, they had married though, and so Naomi was left with these two Moabitish women, and one was Orpah, which means fawn, and the other was Ruth, which means it's a lot of different things, but beauty. One person even suggested the word glamour. And so she kind of said, well, look, there's nothing for me here in Moab. I'm going back to Bethlehem, Judah, my home. You girls, you know, go back to your families and find husbands. And God bless you. Thank you for all you've done. And see you later. And they said, oh, no, no. You know, finally, Orpah did go back. Ruth, though, held on to her mother-in-law, and she said, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you live, I'm going to live. Where you die, I'm going to die. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And so she did. And they came back to Bethlehem, Judah, and the people of the town exclaimed and said, oh, Pleasant is back. And Pleasant said, don't call me Pleasant. Call me bitter, because I went out full and I came back empty. And so part of what we're seeing here is that God is taking Naomi from the place of emptiness and the place of bitterness, which is real. I mean, you know, some of you have experienced loss, and you know how hard it is and how much it hurts, and the difficulty of that is, it's heartbreaking. And so you know, we're not minimizing that at all, but there's a scripture in Isaiah 61. Let me just give you this verse first before we read in Luke or in Ruth. But in Isaiah 61 and verse 3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And so part of what we're seeing here, God has a number of things that He's doing. But part of what we're seeing is God is taking Naomi from a place of emptiness and of bitterness to a place of joy and of wonder and a beautiful place. And God does that. You know, I want to encourage you tonight that God does that. And when you go through those hard times and those difficult moments, just know God has some things for me. God is not through with me. And God is going to fill my life with all that He is. And that's, you know, that's all we can want. That's all we can desire, is that He would just come. And so let's look at this. Chapter 3, Ruth chapter 3 and verse 1. And if you have found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz one of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." And she laid his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came unto the floor." Also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. Lord, I pray you would give us light tonight to see the truth of who you are, and the truth of how you seek us and draw us to yourself, and how you save us, you redeem us, Lord. And I thank you for the story of Ruth and Boaz. And I just pray your blessing now on each one who hears. Lord, may your word be uppermost in our heart and in our mind. And may you be glorified in our time together tonight, we ask. In Jesus' precious, holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so here we go. We've got this story developing because so far they've come back to Bethlehem, Judah. Ruth has found work. It's not the greatest career in the world, but it's work, and she's making a living at gleaning grain after the reapers, after the harvesters. And she has been in the field of Boaz, who is a kinsman, and he had noticed her and had helped her and told her to drink from the water that they provided for the workers, to eat with the workers. And in every way, it said, stay with my workers. The men have been instructed not to bother you, and don't go to anyone else. Stay here with my workers through the barley harvest, the wheat harvest. And she had done this. She had been faithful. And so now the harvest is finished and the threshing is being done. And so the threshing floor was a public place in the city of Bethlehem. All right. It was a place where they all the farmers would use to thresh their grain. And they would bring the grain in and they would have some way of breaking it down to get the grain out of the husk. Sometimes they use oxen to walk on it. I'll never forget being in India one time and in a village we were at, they had a rice threshing floor out there. It was rice all, and right in the middle of it was a dog laying there. And I thought, well, man, I'm hungry now. If I didn't want some rice before, man, I'm ready now. And, they would use this threshing floor, but it was, you know, bear in mind, it was a public place and there might be several different farmers who would have their grain on this floor and be working it, you know, at the same time. So that's kind of the setting for this. Now, Naomi opens this up, verse 1 of chapter 3. Naomi says to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" And what she's asking her is, shouldn't we find you a husband? So Naomi begins to play the matchmaker. And what a dangerous job, what a dangerous role to play. But this was of the Lord. There's no question about it. There's no doubt. So she asked the question, shall I not seek rest? Now, you know, she had told Ruth before they left Moab, go back to your father's home, you know, and, you know, find a husband and, you know, find rest in the home of your husband and find security. And that's the idea here, is that, you know, in that time, it was pretty important for a woman to have the security of a husband and someone to care for her, watch over her, provide for her. And so, notice what she says here. Verse 2, "And now is not Boaz, in him is strength," literally his name means. And so, "is not Boaz one of our kindred?" He is one of our family members. And you've been working in his fields and you've met him, you know him. And now, you know, there's a number of interesting details here, but one probably is that Boaz is older. You know, he's probably, we don't know exactly, but he might have been a cousin of Elimelech. All right, he might have been in that generation. And so, and you'll notice he refers to Ruth in several places as my daughter. But, you know, that really isn't the issue. You know, God has a purpose here and a plan. And the term here is kinsman. And literally in the language, it is kinsman redeemer. It's a near kinsman. And the law carried provision for this. Look in Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25 in verse 25. "If thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return it unto his possession." And the idea here is that a kinsman, you know, the land was given to each tribe. and to each family. And so each family had a homeland, a piece of property that was in their family. And it was very important for them to keep that within their tribe and within their family. And so if, for example, if they sold that property because they came to be in hardship, they would be allowed to come back and redeem it, to buy it back. Okay? To redeem means to purchase something back. And so they had this opportunity, and this fit in with the, you know, with the year of Jubilee. If you remember, the year of Jubilee occurred when every 49th year, you know, they had a year of Jubilee. And during that time, all the property that had been bought and sold during that time returned to its original owner. And so if you bought something in the 35th year, you would only pay the value for 14 years, because after that time it would revert back. And in that way, the land was kept, in the family and was protected in that way. But also, they had the provision that for a person who died, for example, you had Malon and Chilion, whom we refer to as sick and puny, had both died and had not had children. And so part of a redeemer's job was to raise up children in the name of that family, so that the line of Malon and Chilion would not die out. And remember, that's the Sadducees' question to Jesus. Remember, they came and they said, "Lord, this man died, and so his brother married his wife, and then he died, and you know there was something toxic about this woman. I don't know what it was, but all seven of these brothers died. I mean, it was just pretty bad situation. Now, Lord, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? You know, all seven were married to her. They all seven. And so, man, what a mess." And the Lord says, "You do greatly err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." And, He answered it very simply and directly that, in the resurrection, that we'll be like the angels. It won't be so much about marriage. And I don't really understand how all that works. I know we'll still know each other. We'll still love each other. But it is going to be different. But so they had provision for caring for the family of one who had died. And so Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. He was a person who was in position. Couldn't be just anybody do this. It had to be someone of near kinship. And so that was why Naomi thought of Boaz. She said, "He is our kinsman. And so here's what you're going to do. He's going to be winnowing barley tonight in the threshing floor." And so they would thresh the grain and get it ready for completion. And then they would stay there during the night. You know, they would not leave the grain unprotected. They would stay there for security to keep anyone from stealing it. And so she said, "Boaz will be on the threshing floor tonight. And so," verse 3, "wash thyself therefore and anoint thee." Take a bath and anoint thee. Put on the perfume. And, you have to kind of wonder a little bit, because Ruth is a widow. You know, she has lost her husband. And so traditionally the widow would dress, in clothes of mourning and would not be fixing herself up, would not be, dolling herself up and everything. But on this night, her mother-in-law says, "Fix yourself up. Make yourself pretty. And put on the good perfume, the stuff you haven't even worn since your husband died. Put that on." And here's what I'm thinking as we approach this whole story is I really think that Ruth was a beautiful woman. I mean, even in widow's mourning clothes, I think she was a beautiful person. But now she's ready to move on. And so you say, well, what is it exactly that we're doing here? Because this is not exactly the way we do relationships for the most part, you know, in the United States today. Basically what you have here is a proposal of marriage. And Naomi says to Ruth, you're going to go to the threshing floor. You're going to doll yourself up. You're going to make yourself look pretty and smell nice and everything. But don't make yourself known to the man. Watch where he is. Notice where he lays down. Now, you say, well, why would she say that? Because there are other people in the place. You know, this is a public place. It's not, you know, some people have said, well, there's something immoral going on here in this chapter. There's not. There is no hint of immorality in this. None. There's nothing like that. And that's just the gutter minds of people who, you know, that's the way they think. And so that's what they feel like others would think as well. Well, it says, verse 4, it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest I will do. So Ruth agrees. She says, I will do this. And it's pretty simple what she's to do. She's to go in and to lay at his feet, and she's to uncover his feet. Now, whether that's to pull the covers over, you know, some have suggested she would kind of be laying feet to feet, and she would pull the covers over her feet so that her feet would be covered and he would be partially uncovered. You know, I don't really know how exactly that worked, but regardless, this is a, you know, it's an interesting thing to us because it's so different. Now, Ruth could have gone to the city gate, which was where matters of business, any legal matters, all those kinds, it was like a court setting. She could have gone to the city gate. That's where the elders gathered each day, those in authority within the city. She could have gone there and asked for Boaz to be her kinsman redeemer. She could have done that. She had the legal right to do that. She could have done that. But I think it's interesting, and I think it's wise on Naomi's part, that she said, no, let's do this privately. Let's do this without any embarrassment to the man. Let's do this in the right way. And so they did. And it says that verse 6 says, she went down to the floor and did what her mother-in-law had bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of a heap of corn of grain. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. So now here's the wedding proposal in this. When she lies down there and she uncovers his feet, she is basically asking him to cover her with his covering. That is to take her into his life and into his home. And the picture there, the word is actually, it's like a bird's wings, which, you know, is also used a number of places in Scripture in the Old Testament. And Jesus spoke of, you know, of Jerusalem. He looked out across the city of Jerusalem and wept and said, how many times would I have gathered you unto myself as a, you know, a hen gathers her chicks under her wing to protect them. And so there is the idea of security and of protection. But it's the woman who is initiating this proposal. Okay? That does happen sometimes. And so, you know, it's all good here. So she does this. She goes in. She lies down. She uncovers his feet. And at midnight, verse 8, he went right to sleep. And at midnight, suddenly he was afraid. Suddenly he had the sense, the sensation. Have you ever woke up and you just felt something weird here? Something's not right. And, you know, I know I've woke up in the middle of the night and I'll, you know, be trying to figure out what's going on. And I'll look and I'll see a shadow or a, you know, and I'll think, oh, somebody over there. you know, and I forget that my wife hung a dress or something, you know, or whatever, you know. There's so many things that happen and you're not really thinking real clear anyway. And so at midnight, he woke up and he knew there was something was going on. He knew that something was wrong. And he turned and he looked and a woman lay at his feet. Well, you know, if that were happening to us, I mean, I'm not sure I would, you know exactly what was being conveyed. But basically what Ruth was saying was, I will marry you. Will you marry me? You know, and that's pretty much what she is conveying with this moment. Well, it says, verse 9, he said, who art thou? And she said, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And so what she is asking him is to pledge that he would marry her, that he would, you know, receive her to himself. And so Boaz was her near kinsman, her kinsman redeemer. Well, the interesting part of this whole thing is that Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Christ is our near kinsman. Christ is the one who has come and has identified with us and has shown himself, you know, in every way. And he became a flesh and blood person like we are. You know, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And God gave us an understanding of what He's like and who He is through Jesus that we could never have otherwise. I mean, you could read all about the things of God in the Old Testament, but boy, when you come to the New Testament, suddenly God gets up off the pages and just walks into your life and He's just living and breathing and speaking and working and moving, and you can just sense and know what He's like. Well, He is our kinsman redeemer. And He is our near kinsman. And I want to encourage you tonight. You know, sometimes I feel like we know that, boy, God is so good. And He saved us. And it's wonderful. It's great. God's grace is great. But you know what? He did this on purpose. You know, He drew us to Himself. And I'm not going to make too many parallels. I've read some people who do make some really, you know, try to make the whole salvation thing come to life through this marriage proposal here of Ruth and Boaz. And I don't really feel comfortable with all of that, because some of that I think we're reading into the Scripture, things that we want to see there. But I do see that God has shown us that He loves us. And He wants us. And He desires us to be His. And He invites us to come to Him. And sometimes we don't feel worthy of that, because we're not worthy of that. We're unworthy, except that He's given us His love and He's made us worthy. Even in spite of the wretched creatures that we are, He has made us the object of His love and His affection. And so, you know, that's a pretty awesome thing. It's a sweet, sweet truth for us to have and to hold on to. Well, so, who art thou? I am Ruth. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Now notice Boaz's response. Because I think we get a little clue here as to Boaz's feelings in this matter. And I think probably Naomi already sensed this and knew this. But he says, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. you know, Boaz is not trapped and forced into something. I think Boaz is, he's ready. He's excited. In fact, we might be reading a little bit into this here, but I think you could say Boaz was in love. You know, I think Boaz was already, he had observed this woman. He'd seen what kind of person that she was. And then notice what he says about her next. Here at the end of verse 11. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. You know, what a great thought for us. The key here for Ruth was not to be the prettiest girl on the block. It was not to be the most popular. It was to be most like the Lord. It was to be godly. And that's really the most important things in our lives. It's not about, all the accomplishments that we might, achieve, all the things that we might be awarded or, whatever. No, it's about seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. So, as we look at this, he says, everyone in town knows that you are a virtuous woman. And that in itself answers any question of anything happening on the threshing floor that was inappropriate. No, absolutely not. That was simply not a part of this. And so so Ruth, proposes and spread your skirt, spread your wing, literally, over your handmaid. And Boaz answers, I will do everything you've asked. And blessed art thou. She could have gone after a younger man, no doubt. And instead, she went after a man that she had observed. We've seen from Boaz's, just from small things that he had done, that he was a man of God. He was a godly man. Well, in this sense, they are well matched, and a great pair. Well, all right. So there's only one issue. There's only one problem. There's only one bit of tension that remains in this story. Proposal's been made. Proposal's accepted, and everybody's excited except Boaz says, there's one stumbling block here. There's one potential problem, and that is that there is a kinsman who is nearer than I am. There's someone else. There's another kinsman, and he has first claim. And so if he chooses, then he's going to be the one to perform the task of being the kinsman redeemer. But Boaz gives Ruth, every assurance. If he does not do the part of a kinsman to thee, verse 13, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth. He's absolutely committing himself to her. So lie down till the morning. And so here we have a conversation occurring in the middle of the night. It's midnight. And he says, lie down, wait here. Number one, she didn't need to be out on the street in the middle of the night. And so she laid his feet, verse 14, until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. So when it was still dark, getting close to morning, she got up and began to prepare to go back home. And he said, don't let it be known that a woman came under the floor. Well, that's just protecting her. It's protecting him. Is protecting the other nearer kinsman. If he chose to be the person to do that job, but he had her bring the veil that she had worn, and measured out 6 measures of barley, and we don't know exactly what measure was used there, but one writer suggested it could have been as much as 60 pounds. So if so, she was pretty strong. She carried 60 pounds, probably put it on her head. You've seen people carry, you know, pretty great burdens, and they'll put it on their head and carry it, you know, sometimes great distance. And so he gave her this to send home with her to her mother-in-law. Now, notice verse 16. This is fun. When Ruth arrives home, and she comes in and she sets down that veil filled with grain, and Naomi is waiting. You know, Naomi's not in bed, you know, asleep. She's waiting anxiously to see what's come, what's happened. And so her question is, "Who art thou?" Now she knows who she is. Okay, she's not asking her. It's not like she doesn't recognize her, because she says, "My daughter." She knows it's Ruth, but what she's asking is, "What's happened? Are you Mrs. Boaz? What's happened? What's the answer? What's going on?" And you know, the matchmaker has planned, but now she's waiting to find out what's happened, what's going on. And so Ruth answers and told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "He gave me this barley." And so verse 18. Naomi says to her, "Sit still, my daughter. Sit still until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." He said, "One thing is sure, you're going to have an answer today. You're going to know something today." And so, you know, there's some really important components in this story that I think are really essential for us today. One of them is character. You know, I saw an article this week that said, and it was from a Christian news magazine, and it said, "Character no longer matters in political races in America." And sadly, that is true. People don't even care. You know, at one time, if you had been unfaithful to your husband or wife, well, that was a black mark, and that was something that would probably hinder you from serving in a public office. And nowadays, you know, people don't even think about this thing. But men and women, we are called to walk with God. Character is important. It does matter. Because if we cannot make a vow in marriage and keep it, then we are untrustworthy in any arena, in any setting, in any relationship. If you will cheat on your husband or your wife, you will cheat in business, you will cheat on your taxes, you will steal. You've already demonstrated a lack of integrity and a lack of character. And sadly, that is where we are today in many ways. But Ruth was known to be a virtuous woman, a woman of noble character. And so one of the first things I think that we need to ask God is, "Lord, would you build in me character?" And some of you have been building character for some time. Some of you are quite a character by now. And I always tell folks that, you know, yeah, we may not have a lot of character in our church, but we got a lot of characters. I'm joking, because we got a lot of character in our church. We do. But we want God to build what is there, to strengthen what is there, and to help us to be true, to help us to be faithful. You know, this week we are attempting to love on and minister to children in our community. And my goodness, it's hard to fathom the world that some of these children live in. It's hard to even imagine what they have experienced, what they have seen, what things have happened in their lives. And We want to minister to them. I think if we are going to do that, it means that God has to find someone in us. He has to find someone in our character that He can use, He can trust. Before God will, you know, give significant responsibility to anyone, you have to be trustworthy. Well, there's another component in this story that I think is very important, and that is gentleness. Boaz demonstrates a gentleness in this story. And gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is strength that is covered in love. It's protected and it's restrained by love. And so that's a wonderful thing. And then the third component that I see is purity. You know, there was a purity in this. That even though the proposal was unusual, you know, the courtship was, you know, in our minds somewhat bizarre. You know, what are you doing on your date tonight? Oh, going down to the threshing floor. Going to find me a husband. Okay, well, have fun. Yeah. Not exactly the way we do things, but no matter, everything that was done in the right way. And, you know, one of the greatest problems that we have today in marriage is impurity before marriage. Because when people enter into impurity before marriage, they are setting themselves up for impurity after marriage. Because if you've already demonstrated you're willing to break God's laws before you marry, why would it be any different after you marry? Yeah, goes back to the Dear Abby thing again. Well, I don't understand. My boyfriend, we've been living together for 2 years, and now he's cheating on me. Look, you've been cheating on, you know, you've been cheating with him. He's been cheating with you. Why do you find it unusual that he would cheat on you with someone else? It's not at all. You've already demonstrated a lack of integrity, a lack of character, a lack of purity. Well, we have here a beautiful love story, even though it's kind of an unusual one. But then again, what love story is usual and normal? And, you know, there's always, because people are, you know, Bob and Jenny's stories, a little bit different than Tom and Peggy's, or, you know, Jim and Marcia, or mine and Susie's. But how we need to know that God writes our stories, and we need to trust Him. Well, let's close with this verse. This is from Isaiah 61 again, verse 10. Isaiah 61 and verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. And that's kind of the picture we have here with Boaz and with Ruth, is that the Lord clothes us and He covers us, just as Ruth requested, cover me, take me in, marry me. And it's no accident that, you know, in the New Testament, that Christ is pictured as the bridegroom and that the church is the bride of Christ. So we've got some beautiful parallels there and some thoughts that are pretty awesome. Well, now, next time, don't read ahead. No, you're welcome to read ahead. Get the whole story here. But next time, we'll see the resolution of the whole thing. And it's a pretty happy ending, you know. So I'll give you that much. Give that much away. But boy, God used this entire thing And we'll see a little bit about that. So wherever you are tonight in your life and in your walk with God and whatever your needs are, just know that it is God who writes our story. God who puts us in places and leads us and helps us, provides for us. And I want to encourage you tonight, if there's an area of need in your life, to take it to Him. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. There's no burden, there's no need that you have that is off limit to Him. Take it to Him. Trust Him. Let's bow our heads. We're going to take a moment to focus on the Lord and prayer, responding to where we are tonight, what we need. And if there's a need in your heart for Christ, for salvation, what better time than right now to get that settled. And I just invite you to come. Make sure of your salvation. Could be somebody would say, you know, I'm just concerned. I've got needs financially. Or there's needs in my family, relationships and issues. There are lost members of my family or friends or my coworkers. There are needs within my marriage or there are health needs. You know, there's so many ways, but God is there for us. I want to encourage you to go to Him tonight. Just as Ruth went to Boaz, just go to Him. And say, Lord, would You cover me? Would You protect me? Would You provide for me? Because He has what you need. He knows what you need and He loves you. And He wants to do this. Father, I thank You for this group of Your people You've gathered here this evening. I thank You for each one. And Lord, we're all in a little different place in life and we all have some different needs. But I thank You that You are God over every one of those needs in every one of our lives. You know exactly where we are and what we need. So Father, would You bless us tonight with Your holy presence. Speak to our hearts. Minister to our souls. God, draw us near. And Lord, help us in this moment just to humble ourselves, to come and just present ourselves to You and offer ourselves to You and say, oh God, would You cover us with Your righteousness? Would You clothe us with Your goodness, with all that You are? Would You protect us? Would You be our covering, our shield? Lord, we just offer ourselves to You tonight. Would You meet the needs of our heart and our life? And I pray that You help us in this moment just to lift every need to You and trust You, God. Help us to have faith. You are able. You are able.